This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Lemang, serunding, nasi dagang, these are just some of the recipes in food doyen Marina Mustafa's newest cookbook, Hari Raya Classics. A veteran in her field, she's also a cooking show host, food stylist, and runs a cooking school. Joining us now in the studio, she's here to talk to us about Raya recipes and all things culinary. Marina, you've produced 6 cookbooks, you run a cooking show, you've got a school, you've opened a cafe, you do food styling, that's so many things. Did it begin by accident or by design?
I would say by passion, with my passion for food.
And how did you go from doing one thing to the other? Was it a big mindset shift? Did you have to think, okay, you know, opening a cafe is completely different from writing a cookbook or running a school and so on?
Yeah, actually, my degree is in business, so it's obviously nothing to do with food. And after I graduated, I started working with companies which was related to my degree. And I realized that I didn't have a passion for it. I just did it as a job. So my sisters and I decided to open a cafe, and we had it for 14 years. After that, I wrote a cookbook. And when I did a cookbook, I started to learn, teach myself how to do styling. And eventually, lots of people asked me to do cooking classes, and companies asked me to do styling and
it grew
director of food. And just in the end, I did everything related to food. In a way, I consider that fortunate because I'm not down to one particular aspect of food, but I get the opportunity to do everything.
Of all those everythings, of all the hats that you wear, which role do you enjoy the most and which role do you enjoy the least?
In every role that I do, there are things which I like more and less. So it balances out. But I gain biggest fulfillment when I do my cookbooks because I think it's long term and I get to share with people and I get to express who I am and my recipes in a print form. Whereas in other aspects, it's just me being creative or developing recipes. Allows me to be creative and styling as well, but writing cookbooks allows me to pen down everything.
And did you have any formal training in cooking at any point, or is this just something that was really born from being good in the kitchen and having a passion for it?
I think it's in my genes. Both my parents' side of the families all are excellent, I would say, chefs, even though being a chef, you need a degree, but they did it all their lives. So I watched it and I grew up in that environment. And I think it just came naturally.
You're here to talk about Hari Raya Classics, your latest.
Yes.
But tell us before that about your previous cookbooks. You know, did you usually go along themes? You know, what was the process of writing them?
After writing my books, I realized that all my books is related to what I go through in my life. My first cookbook is called Memorable Recipes for Malay Occasions, which is different occasions that you go through throughout your life and the appropriate dishes to take during that. That time I was going through a health condition, so I thought of life in a very nostalgic manner. So that's why I thought of life from birth to the end of life. My second cookbook is about Hidangan Sunnah, which is written in Malay. It is about the 11 ingredients that I plucked up from the Al-Quran and turned each ingredient into 11 modern recipes. That is also based on me, after going through the health crisis, to be closer to religion, to be closer to God. That's how that book came about. And as I started to get busier with my work now, I wrote a book called Lima Rencah 15 Minit, which means 5 ingredients in 15 minutes. And that one actually sold about 7,000 copies within 6 months. More because it suited my lifestyle of being busy and always on the run. And I realized that Malaysians like that concept too because they are busy. So now that it's near Hari Raya, that's how this book came about, Hari Raya Classics. And I feel that I'm really able to bring out the Raya spirit through this book, not just through recipes, but from photos as well.
What are your fondest memories of Raya?
Oh, my fondest memories of Raya is always the pre-Raya, where we cook together as a family, extended family, all the olden ways of doing things, not the fast, quick running around stuff which we do today.
with the recipes that you're seeing in this Raya book, how many of them are, you know, just from your family, from the past, and how many of them were new ones that you tried out, you know, to see if they would make it into the book?
Actually, this cookbook in particular are entirely my family recipes.
Oh, lovely.
So it should work completely. And they are very, very, what the title says, classic dishes. It's not modern recipes. It's recipes which you might have forgotten, but you need to know how it's done, like lemang, ketupat palas, serunding. We all don't do that anymore, actually. We just buy it off the rack. So this is a way for us to introduce ourselves of how to cook it and realize that it's not that difficult to cook it, actually.
So what's important to get right when cooking raya dishes? Is it about balance? You know, what is it?
When it comes to raya dishes, it's about lots of ingredients and long, long time of cooking. That's raya.
So are there any time-saving tips, or do you really just have to accept that, okay, raya means that I'm going to be in the kitchen and at home for quite a long time?
No, I have changed that over the years. I have actually started using appliances, which shorten my cooking time. So instead of just slaving over the stove doing my rendang, I shortcut the time by half by putting it in the pressure cooker first, or things like that. We have appliances to help us make our life easy now.
Why is it important to hold on to raya traditions? For example, you know, with lemang and serunding, as you point out, yeah, more often than not, people purchase it nowadays, correct, as opposed to make it. Why do you think it's important to know how to make it yourself and to, you know, honour that tradition?
Because that's where we came from. That's what we are. And without lemang and without rendang and without ketupat, we are not celebrating raya and we are not Malaysians. That's where we come from. And if we just eat it by buying it from someone else, we will never ever know. So maybe we won't do it often, but at least we have it down in print where we can remember. And let's say when my kids go overseas, then they will know how to do it on their own because they won't be able to get lemang or rendang there.
Do you see yourself as a food curator of sorts, you know, documenting recipes that would vanish if you didn't put them down, as you say, in print?
Oh, yes, I am. I believe I am. I go everywhere and collect recipes from, more so from people who have been cooking continuously for many, many, many decades. So I believe that you won't go wrong there. I only do a balancing of the ingredients when it comes to writing it down.
Overall, then, in terms of collecting these recipes, would you say that most Malaysians have an understanding of exactly how rich our food culture is? Because I think, you know, very often people in the North don't necessarily know what food tastes like in the South, and we have a great variety of recipes, and even us who are in the middle, we don't necessarily get to taste everything.
One of the chapters I did is rendang of all states in Malaysia, and I realized that when I did my own research for that chapter alone, I realized that there is nowhere written about what is the specific rendang for each state. We are like rojak. Everybody does everything and they just do whatever recipe they want. When I went deeper and actually met the actual people from the generation before mine, then I realized that there are actually specific rendangs for each state, and which is why I stated in there. That's only one of the chapters.
Are your readers also increasingly asking for shortcuts now? You know, are people kind of putting up their hands and going, okay, you know, preparing for this meal is such a huge task. I really need to know how to cut time.
Yes, definitely. That's why I told you that 15 minutes in Fifth Harmony did so well. Actually, before I did this Hari Raya Classics, I did another book with MPH, which is called Cooking Under Pressure. So because we are under pressure to cook all the time, and I decided to cook using the pressure cooker. And I heard a lot of people telling me that it's on the best-selling list on MPH. So I'm happy. I'm really happy about that. And I'm so pleased that people are finding shortcuts through my book. Actually, I'm known among a lot of people for doing local dishes in an easy style to suit today's lifestyle.
I'm speaking with Marina Mustafa, author of Hari Raya Classics, which is the book that we're discussing. Up next, we find out what her favourite raya recipe is. You are listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You're listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me, Marina Mustafa, author of Hari Raya Classics, her latest cookbook, which is also the topic of our discussion today. We've been talking about Hari Raya recipes. What's your favorite? You know, what's the one that you look forward to seeing on the table?
My favorite has always been and will always be my mother's sambal goreng Johor. We never, almost never cook it during non-raya time. And I don't think anybody else does because it has like 1,001 ingredients. But when we have it, we only have it once a year. So we really treasure eating it.
What is sambal goreng? I don't think I've had that.
Ah, okay. Then you must come to my house. Sambal goreng is actually all the internal organs of the cow, which is the lung, the liver, the tripe, everything that's been boiled, cut up, and cooked into one dish, which also has beans, long beans, tempeh, tahu. It's got a range of things which you'll never put together, but when you do, it just tastes amazing. I have never heard anybody who doesn't love sambal goreng.
All your cookbooks have been sort of locally focused. The dishes are local.
Yes.
As you point out, a lot of cookbooks now are about, you know, easy, fast, weekday meals.
Yes.
Would you say that cooking local is actually quite a complicated task compared to, say, just, I don't know, fish and chips?
Actually, Western food is really easy to cook. Really, really easy in comparison to local food. I told you I ran a cafe for 14 years. And actually, we only serve Western food. So I would say that actually I specialize in Western food. But since I wrote my first cookbook, the nostalgic one, I have been branded as a local cookbook writer. And I realized that there are not many local cookbook writers who do write in English and who explore local dishes very in-depth as I do. And I have tried to turn all these local dishes into fast cooking, simple to cook. And actually, MPH did tell me that there is a big request for Malaysian dishes, cookbook with Malaysian dishes. And I'm not going to compete with all the Western dishes there. They are the specialists, and there's so many books on Western dishes. So I think it's a good thing that I'm focusing on the local ones.
Going off your invitation to me, you know, to have sambal goreng Johor, which I might take you up on. I think it's pretty safe to say that for most people, the best Malay food seems to be had at people's houses, you know, home-cooked food. Do you think it's a pity that there aren't more Malay restaurants that can really represent that home-cooked flavour, you know, that are considered great restaurants here as well as abroad?
Yes, I totally agree with you. I think there isn't enough quality local food restaurant. And I wish they were. I don't know why they have not survived. Possibly because people expect local dishes to be a lot cheaper. And it's hard to earn or maintain themselves with such a low amount of profit. I believe that's the reason.
Do you see the scene changing in the future, perhaps?
Yes, I do. Actually, I have seen several restaurants selling local food as the same price as Western food. And I believe that slowly it will get better. But I don't know whether there are really any experts out there who can cook really good local food except those in the houses, in our homes. That's where we get the best local food. So I don't know. A lot of chefs out there are trained. They have been trained to cook Western dishes. So I doubt we'll get that unless you get it at home, yeah.
Would you say that commercial pressures are taking a toll on Malaysian restaurants in general? You know, this whole pressure to just churn out fast food that's also very, very affordable as opposed to focusing more on quality?
Yes, when you have a business, the main aim is profit. We can't deny that. But when you cook at home, the main aim is to make the food delicious. So actually, I always encourage everybody to cook at home. I think it's healthy, it's cost-saving, it brings families together. I really am a strong believer in that, home cooking.
In the time that you've been in the food industry, with the cafe, with the cookbooks, how would you say the industry has changed?
Oh, of course, it's grown tremendously. There are so many restaurants popping up now. and so many restaurants closing down as well.
Sadly, yes.
Yeah, it's very sad, especially the good ones.
Yes.
But I think there is a demand for outside food because people have no time to cook. And a lot of people have the impression that cooking is difficult. My aim is to show that cooking is not difficult. I hope people will cook more at home. There are more varieties out there, but there are less people who are authentic people who always cook those dishes at home. There are less out there cooking in the restaurants.
Since you're so involved with food, I'm just curious, how often do you eat out versus cook at home and try new restaurants?
Actually, I cook at home probably 6 days a week, possibly seven. We do go out almost as much, but for snacks and just for light food. But actual meals is all taken at home.
What do you do when you need cooking inspiration? When you need a new recipe or when you just think, okay, I don't know what to make for dinner tonight?
I think I am blessed to have the inspiration all the time in my head. Even when I'm asleep, I'm thinking of new recipes. That has not been a big challenge for me, fortunately.
Has there been any one person who has been a source of inspiration to you when it comes to food?
My mother. She shares with me everything which she experienced with her family and brought it down to me, which I share with my readers.
What are the key things that you've learned from your mother when it comes to cooking?
Passion. To really love everything that you do. Even when you're cooking at home for your family with no money coming in, just enjoying time with your family. It's got to be with passion. That's how your food turns out lovely.
Your book, for Hari Raya, how important is food to the Raya celebration? I think most of us would understand that, you know, it's a big component, but how would you describe it?
Hari Raya is nothing without food. I think everybody knows that. And it doesn't extend for one day. It goes on for a whole month. So yes, food is extremely important in Malaysia, not only during Hari Raya, but actually all the time. It's very important for Malaysians. We all really love our food, more passionately than other places, I believe. We savor every single food. And we are so lucky to live in an environment where there are so many varieties and choices to choose from. So Hari Raya is all about food, but Hari Raya is more about the rendangs and the serundings and the ketupats. But in general, we Malaysians just love food anyway.
Would you say, as somebody who cooks, you know, most nights of a week, how important is food in bringing families together?
Absolutely important. Absolutely important. I actually include my family in the menu planning. When it comes to Ramadan, I told my kids, actually I don't tell my kids, they tell me that they are going to cook this dish, that dish for 30 days. So they don't really follow it rigidly, but they do follow it. And I find that when you involve your family in the planning, in the purchasing, in the prep work, and even the final cooking, actually, it really unites the family together. That's what we're missing now. Everybody is busy with their own stuff. And we need to get connected back again with our families.
With your years of experience in the food industry, what has been your most important takeaway lesson from all the different things that you've done?
To do everything with passion. And when you do everything with passion, with a lot of love, there's not much effort to be made, actually. You will just do a terribly good job.
Do you know yet what your next book is going to be about?
Oh, actually, MPH told me that every time I meet you, Marina, you come up with like about 20 different ideas. So my ideas for cookbooks never ends. It just pops up every single time. So yes, I have several books in line, yes.
As we talked about earlier, food really does, you know, just unite all Malaysians. It's such an integral part of our culture. During this festive period then, finally, as we're all tucking in, what would you like to say to all Malaysians about food and about Hari Raya in particular?
Please treasure food which we don't cook much anymore. Please don't forget our heritage and how food brings everyone together. That's so important. So very important.
Thank you very much, Marina. I've been speaking with Marina Mustafa, author of Hari Raya Classics. We've been talking about Hari Raya and food. You've been listening to The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.